Welcome to the Atlanta Dream Center podcast. Here you can listen to our recent sermons. Our hope is that today you are transformed by Jesus and you grow in your walk with Christ. If you would like to learn more about our church, please visit our website, atlantadreamcenter.com. Grab a pen, put in your headphones, and let's dig into the word.
Okay. Hi, guys. Hi, hello. Hi. Yeah, I'm saying hi to you. Yeah. All right, it is our last midweek service until after the summer. I know. I'm actually bummed too. I know. There are going to be a couple groups, and we're going to figure out some other things. There's a Conyers group. There's really a good chance that there's a group. If Ryan and Kristen are watching this, they're saying they might do one at their house right here in Old Fourth Ward, which would be great. Some Cobb County ones. I just found out this all happened today, by the way, so this is all good news. But there might be some groups. But we're going to figure out some other things we might do. We might do some things right here. We'll keep you posted. But I want to get through this. I might get some feedback because I'm down here. Is that okay with you guys? I'm only on this thing because of live stream. We love the live stream, but I'm only on here for that. So check this out. We're in Philippians 4. I'm going to end this tonight. We're going to end Philippians. After service, we have popsicles, but it's like ice cream truck popsicles. It's like SpongeBob and Bluey and stuff like that. So eat them, hang out. I want you fellowshipping, hang out with one another. But this is what we're going to get into. We're going to talk about a little bit what I talked about last week. If you have your Bible, I want you to go to Philippians 4, verse 6 through 7. We're going to read this, don't worry thing. We're going to talk about peace, but really quick, someone tell me the last time you really experienced peace. Someone tell me about it. Anybody? Really experienced peace. Yeah, for real.
Man, financially?
Financially,
not knowing how to pay the bills, but, you know, the Lord always came through out of nowhere, and it happened.
Now you just have peace, right? No worries, no sweat. I don't care about nothing financially no more. I love how you said that. I want to start saying that way too. I heard Bill say last night. Bill, you said last night? Yeah. You just that is enough? Right here in prayer and worship. Yeah, can I just rat you out? Because that doesn't make any I always try to invite people. I say, hey, this church building is not like an entity. It's our building. You guys know that, right? Like, this is our building. I don't know, if you give offering, it's like you helped pay for these chairs. Well, you didn't, but someone did 50 years ago. But like, you know, like you're a part of this. And so I always try to tell people, use the building up. So one of the things Bill does late night, which I love this, I used to do this a ton too. He'll come here when no one else is here and he'll just worship. And he said, man, last night I was here and he's just full of peace. Now, this is what we notice about peace is that oftentimes our peace is usually tied to worry. You guys ever notice that? That worry is the thing, or fear. Does anyone in here deal with fear? Yeah, a few of you? Okay, a few. Nodding your head. You guys nod your head at everything, so I don't know what that means, but if you're raising it, that'd be good. I could say some crazy stuff, and some of you guys are like, yep, yeah. No, but listen, like fear and worry, I think a lot of times we say steal our peace. Now, have you guys ever heard the phrase, you need to guard your peace? Have you guys ever heard that before? Yeah, that's kind of a pop thing. So we're going to kind of hit on all these things, and I want to just put it right here, because I'm going to kind of argue, number one, that you don't need to guard your peace. That's crazy. That you could live a life in the chaos and you don't need to guard your peace. In fact, what we're going to read here in a second says the opposite. And then the second thing I want to argue is that your peace is not because of circumstances or rights, but your peace is really tied to trust. It's really tied to trust. I like what Rashawn said. My finances are like, you know, if I could elaborate a little bit on this, can I elaborate on that? This is your personal life. Are you cool with that? I was going to make a crazy joke. I'm not going to do that. He used to call me every once in a while, and he'd be kind of stressing out about the finances. And, you know, we would just pray. We'd talk about whatever. But one of the things we talked about often is just wait until God does something. Because I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but until you have kind of like a rhythm with somebody, you don't necessarily trust them. Does that make sense? Like, when you have a newborn baby as a father, your baby doesn't care who you are, right? It's not until like year one and year two does your baby start going, oh, I actually trust this person. That's what it's like for a father, okay? As a mother, they usually trust right away. They're immediately bonded. Now, I'm saying this is that, you know, trust takes time. And so Rashawn was trusting the Lord with his finances. Miracle after miracle happened for this guy. And when we say miracle, it'd be like little things. We're not talking like he went fishing like Peter and found a coin and a fish. It would be just like someone would provide or someone would call him up and be like, yo, I owe you money or whatever it was. And he realized, no matter what, I don't have to worry because I have somebody who's taking care of me. I got trust. Now that's peace, where you go, I don't have fear and I don't have worry because I trust the circumstances. Now, I want to pause for a second, because I want to talk about maturity of Christianity really quick, and I want to give you a key to quick maturity. And I'm saying quick maturity like this will help you grow up in your walk. Now, I'm going to use an analogy though really quickly about my children. I got a million of these, but have you guys ever been afraid of like a monster under your bed? You guys remember that? Yeah, okay. No, you don't? She was a gangster. I would, for years, run and jump into my bed. Why? Because I had this just nagging fear that there was some shadowy hand that was going to grab me and pull me under. You guys know what I'm talking about? And I did that until I was like, I don't know, 30 or something. I did it for a long time. But then, shut up. But then eventually, though, I kind of began to realize there is nothing to fear. Like, there's nothing to fear. Now, tonight, I literally turn off my lights. I'll lay down on the floor. I'll sleep under my bed for all I care. It depends on how tired I am. Like, there's no fear of that. But my children, on the other hand, my daughter Lucy, at nighttime, right now, the big bad wolf, I don't know if you guys know this, but apparently that's really scary. I did not know that. Three of my kids have had nightmares about the big bad wolf. That's some pure kids, actually. I think that's what that is. Some of you guys grew up on Chucky and stuff. That's crazy, you know? Yeah. The big bad wolf is taunting my children. Anyways, she, at nighttime, you know what she does? She goes around to every door and she locks the door. Every night she goes to every door and she locks the door. And originally I thought she was just being sweet, but she told me that her brother Gideon had told her that the big bad wolf could open doors. And so now she locks all the doors. That's what she does. And so we see something. We know, you and I, we giggle, we laugh. Man, we're not afraid of monsters on our bed anymore. That's immature stuff. We're not afraid of the big bad wolf. That's immature stuff. Now I want to say this about Christianity. There is a trust in the Lord. When you get there, and I want to say this about finances, this is about security, this is about walking with him, this is about salvation, where you have so much trust in him that you look at the fear in other people's life and you go, that's so immature in your Christian walk. Like, how are you fearing the big bad wolf of like debt and finances? How are you afraid of the big bad wolf of loneliness? Why is that fear capturing you? And a lot of us have been Christians for a long time, and we've never been able to mature out of that. And this scripture right here, which we read last week, but I want to read it again, because he's going to talk about peace three times, well, two times and one time, what it does. He says, don't worry about anything, which is, by the way, the fear of the unknown. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace. That's very key. Notice it doesn't say you'll experience peace. Because a lot of us have a worldly idea of peace, which is our circumstances are taken care of. And since our circumstances are taken care of, and I have enough savings in my bank account, and I have a spouse in my life, and I have children, I won't face loneliness, I won't face financial trials, I won't face any of these things. But the scripture says not just peace, he says God's peace. And this God's peace exceeds anything we can understand. Now, I want to make this very clear. This peace from God is not a worldly peace. It's supernatural. It's a supernatural peace. Men's peace is by reason. That's why I list all those things. If you have a fear or worry about your financial future, I'm going to tell you how you defeat that in the world's eyes is that you secure yourself with enough finances so that that fear no longer has power over you. How my daughter takes care of the fear of the big bad wolf is that she locks all the doors. This is her reasoning. Now, this scripture, though, says when you go to the Lord, you bring your supplications to him and you thank him. It says he will give you a peace that goes beyond men's understanding. This is a very important thing because I want to pause for a second because I got to nail this out. I really believe the scriptures. I am a Christian, so I use the scriptures to define my reality. I don't use my experience to define the Bible. Does that make sense? And there's a lot of argument right now within the church with psychology and neuroscience, even though neuroscience doesn't usually back it up, but whatever it is. And they'll say these things like, yeah, but for me, it's different because I was diagnosed. Yeah, but for me, it's different. I have, like, it's not just normal anxiety. It's like really bad anxiety. And hey, listen, I go, I'm so sorry you deal with that. That's the worst to me. But I don't say, well, I guess the scripture doesn't apply to you. I got people who say, yeah, I wish I didn't have worry, but it's in my personality that I'm this way, or whatever it is. And we make ourselves special so that the scriptures, and this is kind of what it is, this is the flesh, by the way, so that the scriptures no longer apply to us. So when you have a brother or sister and you're worrying, and they say, hey, look at the scriptures, don't worry about it. No, go to prayer and thanksgiving and watch what happens. You go, yeah, but not, that doesn't work for me. I'm special. The word of God isn't like enough for me. And so what do? We kind of grab to these other things. I want to say this. There is a flesh alive in you that wants everything in the scriptures to be denounced by you. It's a flesh. It is the wickedness of your own soul. And I'm going to tell you right now, it comes real soft, but it destroys you real quick. And it does. It says, yeah, but Tommy, I am this way, or whatever it is. It's bigger than what it is for other people. And what you do is you take this idea about your personal experience and you make it greater than an experience you don't even understand, which is other people's experiences. Now, I'm saying something that's kind of important for psychology that you understand, that you and I, how we interpret what we go through is the measurement of how big of a deal that is. Does that make sense? So you and I hope I can say this well. I'm not really good at this stuff, but I'm going to try. What the heck is this? It's Roku. Yeah, you guys want to watch TV later? Well, there's some hurt necks. Let me say this in the best way I can. Your reality, you paint as a bigger picture. So you have anxiety, right? Or maybe you have fear, or maybe you have loneliness, or whatever it is. You don't think anyone can compare to your reality that you have within you because of how they express their feelings in the midst of it. And I want to actually just pull back, and I want to say this to everyone in this room. I'm a big believer in the human experience being pretty much the same. Have you guys ever got on Instagram and you're watching videos and people are saying things, you're going, I thought I was the only person who thought that way. I just saw this video of in the car, if you guys ever did this as a kid, when I was a kid, I would sit in the car, I'd look out the window and imagine a running man. You guys know what I'm talking about? I just found out the entire world did the same weird thing that I did. And that's actually mind-boggling to me. And I found out too, because later on I had imagination that there was a chainsaw and it was cutting all the trees down. Did you guys have that one too? Okay, well, I had that one. And a motorcycle one too. But no, it's this weird idea that, hey, actually we are a lot more the same. And if that's the case, then the scripture applies equally to you as it does to me. And this scripture says something very clear. If you got anxiety and worry, go to him in prayer and give him thanksgiving. And the promise is this: he will give you a peace from him. It's not gonna be how you get it on your own. And this peace goes beyond understanding. Now, I wanna go any further on that, so I wanna get to the next part really quick. It says, and his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I always kind of chuckle when people say, well, I just need to guard my peace, I'm not gonna do that, you know? It's like, brother, I was just asking you for a dollar or whatever I was asking. Like, I wasn't asking for much. But people always say, I got to guard my peace. Well, I'm not going to do this thing because I'm going to guard my peace. And usually, and I get what it is. I know what it really is. It's usually that they just don't want to do it, but they feel like they have to put on a show for people and make it more spiritual than it is. And I want to make it clear to everyone in here, it's okay to say, I don't want to do that. Did you guys know that? Did you guys know the word no is sufficient? Isn't that interesting that you could say no and someone could say why and you just say because? Your parents did to you growing up. Why did you lose that thought? Like, just because. I don't want to. It's okay to say that. And if they give you a hard time, just recognize they're trying to convince you and you don't need to be convinced. But people say this stuff all the time. I need to guard my peace. Guard your peace, brother. Burn some sage in your house and guard your peace. I want to make this really clear. The peace of God actually guards you. This is very important to grab a hold of. This is why when the apostles and the saints were going through suffering, they were not tormented by it, but they were full of joy because their peace was not something that they guarded. It was something that God sent to them to guard them. And this is what it says, by the way. It says that it will guard your hearts and your minds. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want the peace that I could attain. I want that peace from here on out. I don't want a peace that I go, well, if I could get my life in order, then I can attain the peace of man. No, no, I want the kind of peace that says, Father, I've been worried, I've been anxious, I've been fearful. I'm coming to you in prayer, and I'm going to thank you for everything you've done until I receive that peace that comes from you. This is a big deal because I think a lot of people are settling for two different kind of pieces, two different kind of joys, two different kind of like self-control, and they don't realize that God has something different than man has. Have you guys ever got tripped up? You know, I always talk about the Buddhists and all the self-control they have. And I talk about Christians. Do you ever look at that and go, man, why do I have no self-control? Why is it that I have, like, why is my self-control lacking? Why is my joy so circumstantial? Like, what is that? Why does it seem like sometimes Christians don't have a supernatural outpouring of these fruits, but rather they have the same kind of man-attained fruits? I'm going to tell you why right now. Because you're still thinking that it's your responsibility to go get those things instead of thinking it's your responsibility to follow him. And so people will build their life on what? I want to, and pause for a second, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, peace, joy, gentleness, kindness, love, self-control, the other ones. Those fruits, everybody in here wants. Actually, everybody out there wants that. Did you know that? That the list of the fruits of the Spirit, if you were to lay that down and you were to say, would you rather have these things as characteristics in your life or would you rather have $1 billion? 9 out of 10 would say, I want those things. Or the other one would say, $1 billion would help me get those things. But everyone wants joy. I want peace. I want gentleness. And Christ says the way you get it, peace, he says, that surpasses circumstances and understanding. He says, come to me with thanksgiving. Come to me with your supplication and prayer. He says, the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians, he says, if you follow my Spirit. So he gives us one job. And what do we get distracted doing? We get distracted trying to work out all the other things. Well, God, I want to follow you, but first let me go get my joy. God, I want to follow you. I want to do what you say. I want to be obedient to you. But then we pick up the second job where we go, yeah, but I also want self-control. So I'm going to beat my flesh, not unto you, Father, but I'm just going to be like doing these weird things. Like I'm going to be up at 6 o'clock in the morning because I watch Jocko Willick tell me if I don't, then I'm a wuss. So I got to do this thing. Does anyone know Jocko Willick? So I want to point this out to you. This Holy Spirit, the Father, has literally made a one-track relationship. If you just seek after me, and he says this in the scriptures, man, if you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, what will he give you? All the supply you need. He says that in scripture, but what do? We still go, yeah, but I don't want to just do that. I want to go make sure I got my supply and then follow you. I want to go, just so you know, I want to go bury my father, then follow you. Those are the people that he rebukes. He says, no, just come after me. Just bring your problems to me. Tell me how thankful you are for what I've done in your life. Now, I want to go on a little bit more because there's something else I got to point out. If you go down to Philippians 4, 8 through 9, he doesn't stop there. He says, now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. We talked about this. On what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, check this out, then the God of peace will be with you. Paul points out three things right off the bat. He says, hey, number one, you want peace, this is how you get it. Thanksgiving, bring all your supplications to the Lord. He says, and that peace that he gives to you, it will guard you. You don't have to guard it. It will guard you from all the things in this world, all the chaos, all the worry, all those things. He says, my peace will protect you from it. And then he says, but one more thing I want to tell you, practice everything I've taught you. I want to make this clear. Paul was not teaching something different than Christ. He's teaching the things of Christ. He says, I want you to put to practice everything I've been teaching you about Jesus. I want you to practice, fix your eyes on these wonderful things. Don't let the destruction of the world, like we talked about last year, take your attention, no, or last week. Don't let it take your attention. No. Instead, lean in on the teaching. And then he says, the supplier of peace, the one who owns that peace, he will be with you. So check this out. He says, number one, he will give you peace. That peace will guard you. And if you just put to practice the walk of Christ, if you put to practice what it means to live in holiness before Jesus and do it his way, he says, then the God who supplies all peace will be with you. And I think this is very interesting because to have the God who's the supply of peace with you makes it seem like that he would be the one in your home, mothers and fathers. As you worship the Father and you give your life to him, you don't just have peace that you own. Now the supplier of peace is with you in your home. Now the supplier of peace is in your relationship when you bring it before the Father constantly. I'm gonna bring my prayer and thanksgiving to you, God. I'm gonna practice all the teachings of Christ. And what does it say? The God of peace will be with you. Now, I don't know about you, but if I see peace as a currency, I don't want just a little bit that he gives to me. I want the whole, you know, economy of peace to be with me. I want the whole thing. This is how you get peace. The God of peace, the supplier of peace in your life. I want to put this to you guys. Practice all you've learned. Some of us learn things. We put it away in our pocket to use it as a discussion point and not as an activity that we actually put to work. I want to encourage you really quick. I always say to you guys constantly, read this. You have a way, I was going to use yours, but yours is way bigger. Definitely more saved than JoJo. We read this. I encourage you guys to read this thing every single day. But I mean, Jesus talks about this. Paul talks about this too. Like, but don't just read it, walk away from it, and not put it to practice. So many of us are going, man, I live in a world where there is no peace. I have no peace in my life. The God of peace seems far away from me. It's like, yeah, probably because you read the word and you don't put it to use. I want you to take these teachings, to look at the scriptures and go, you know what? Jesus told me, you know, the simple ones, let's just go to the ones that we all know, forgiveness, or do have brotherly love for one another, or to serve one another as he taught us to serve one another. He says, man, if you do this, I will give you the guy who supplies all peace will be with you. I'm saying this because I think most people I talk to, the thing they lack the most, and this is within Christianity, is peace. Honest truth. They're distraught. They're full of angst. They have this fear looming over them. They have desires that they don't trust the Lord with right now. And so what happens? Anxiety, anxiousness, worry, fear, and all these things that we talked about in the very beginning seem to be the robber of peace. And so what do? They're going around and they're trying to get their circumstances or their surrounding or the people they like to be people who guard their peace. And Christ or Paul saying, brother, this peace is going to guard you. Just give it to him. Brother, if you practice the ways of Christ, he, the God of peace, will be with you. And I'm saying all this because we're going to finish here in a second, but I'm saying all this because I think, again, a lot of us are looking for peace everywhere else except practicing the teachings of Christ. Like we're looking for everywhere else. We say it doesn't work. And all you put to practice is a little bit. You're the immature kid. And so I want to go back really quick to how do you grow your maturity so you're not living that life. This is how you do it. Make a practice of prayer in your life. Honest truth. Now I want to say this to you because it's important. I know that you're not praying and you know you should pray more. I know that about you in this room. Everyone in here. You say to yourself, I know I should be praying more. Some of you guys have increased your prayer. I'm going to say yes and amen. That's incredible. And now you know the benefit of prayer. But I want to say this to you again. Go to prayer. Actually, can I just hit on something really quick because it bothers me sometimes. It is incredible how prayerless our church is. Forget the other churches. How prayerless our church is. And I'm not saying that we don't pray. We pray. I like praying. But I don't know about you. Sometimes I come in for prayer and fasting, and I should have started 2 hours ago. What was I doing? And I'm not saying that in condemnation. I'm just saying, bro, there's so much more prayer I could be doing. There's so much more of my time I could be giving to the Lord. And listen, I don't want to make condemnation, but I just know that this is true for me. And I'm making a very big practice of prayer in my life. And I'm going, man, I don't feel like I pray enough. I get to speak to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I get to talk to the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and I get tired of sitting on my knees before him. I'm going, I don't know. I want to do it more so. And I'm really putting work in. I know not everyone in here is putting work in. Again, not condemnation. I'm just saying, just so you know, this is a key part of your Christian walk. Prayer. Don't beat yourself up, but recognize, how am I a Christian without much prayer in my life? How am I a Christian without thanksgiving? Man, can I tell you, some of you guys need to start... just by the way you talk, I'm not saying in here, just people in general. You guys know people like this. Just by the way they talk, you think, bro, all you do is complain. All you do is you tell me the worst news. You need to practice giving thanksgiving to God. I want to say this right now. This is a key that opens up. Now, I want to go through this last verse as we finish up. It says this, verse 14 through 23. I got 9 verses. Even so, you have done well to share with me my present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians were the only one who gave me financial help when I thought, I'm sorry, when I first brought you the good news and then traveled from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, however you say that, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want to get from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. At the moment, I have all that I need and more. I'm generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with that guy. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now all glory to God our Father forever and ever. Amen. Give my greetings to each of God's holy people, all who belong to Jesus Christ. The brothers who are with me, send their greetings. And all the rest of God's people, send your greetings too, especially those in Caesar's household. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you in spirit. All right. Number one, I want to talk about that scripture where it says, I'm content in all things, you know, rich or poor. I want to just say this to you really quick. Or through Christ, I could do all things. That scripture is talking about finances and being content. And I think I skipped it, but did I skip a verse, guys? Yeah, I did. Verse 10. I know it. This isn't it, but I'm glad I read that. Can I read verse 10 through 13? It says, how I praise the Lord that you're concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned with me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Thank you. I'm glad that you guys told me I didn't read it. Notice he doesn't say, because of God, I'm content in all things. He actually says, I have learned that I could be content in all things. Some of us are asking God, God, just make me content. And he's saying, brother, through me, you could do all things. Be content. As in, you take care of the contentment part. You do the part where it's like, you learn what it means to say, God, if I have nothing or if I have everything, I am sincerely content in you because I know that through you, I could do all things. I want to go back to Rashawn's little testimony really quick as a closing end here in a second. Rashawn was worrying about his finances because he didn't have enough. I've been here 1.5 million times. I've been here as a church pastor. I've been in my personal life where I was fearful I didn't have enough. Now, let me tell you something. I have learned to be content because through Christ, I've learned all things are possible. Through Christ, I can do everything. Like literally, it's like, guys, even this building, even our finances as a church, I literally have such great comfort. I've learned to be content. Why? Because I have gone through it over and over and over till the place where it's like, this doesn't faze me no more. You could ask my wife. Some people would say maybe we're a little too confident that Christ is going to pull through. We look foolish that we trust the Lord to that degree. We look like fools to the world that we don't sweat it. We're not trying to manipulate people. We're not trying to get money from people. We're not hustling so hard. And we go, no, I know what God's called me to do. And listen, we believe in hard work. I want to say this to everyone in here. Laziness is sinful. Can I say that really quick? Trusting the Lord doesn't mean you don't work. Trusting the Lord means you believe that he will take care of the outcome, but you still do your parts. I'm saying this because I want to make this very clear. There will never be a day that you will find me not wanting to have, if I don't work at the church, I always tell the team this, I'm working at Aldi, or however you say it. I'm working at that little German store if I could get the job, if they will hire me. I always think about this just because the pay is really good and what a great job. Wouldn't that be awesome? I think that'd be great. I really do. It's just like an ambition I have, I guess. I don't know. I have very low hopes in my life. But no, it's like, man, if I don't have this job, I'm going straight there. I promise you. You have no reason not to work hard. And if you don't work hard, and I mean this, and you're getting God about your outcome, he will tell you, brother, your outcome's because you sowed that. Man, that's what you're going to get. But I want to say this other side. He's a miraculous God. I've seen this in everything. He's never lied. He says, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. I will provide for you. Paul didn't just know that. He learned it. I want to encourage you on something. You have a lot to learn. So get to it. Stop saying God, just do it. I went through school. I was the, don't hate on me, Alex, because I know you're smart. I was the C guy, okay? C's on everything. C's, what is it, D's get degrees? That's true. But in Georgia, you guys don't do D's, so we got C's here. And this is what it was. I just did not apply myself. You guys remember high school? You guys ever think back, like, I could have easily got straight A's. Like, you really could have. It wasn't that hard. It was just do your homework. That's all it was. But I wasn't interested in learning. So guess what I did? I went to school every day. I would don't condemn me. I would cheat like crazy. I would just do the least amount of work because I was not interested in learning. Not until I got to my 30s did learning become something I wanted to do, and now I regret. But this is how I see people in the church. They'll do all the go to church, they'll go to the class, they'll sit under the teaching, yet they have no interest in learning. They only have an interest of like passing. I just want to pass. I just want to get the C so I can get to heaven. I just want to pass. And so what they do, they miss out on content, being content in all things. They miss out on peace from God. They miss out on the miracles. And they have this Christianity that is a C. I did all the right work, yet they never learned a thing. I want to encourage you guys, be people who learn. And lastly, this last thing that Paul says, he says, man, I have everything I need. He says, but God's going to bless you guys because you guys have blessed me so much. And not out of my supply, but from his glorious riches. This is just a side note, but I just really think this is important. Have you guys ever prayed to God and you're like, just a little bit, God? Like, God, please help me with my bill or whatever it is. You're like, even if it's $50. You guys ever negotiated with God like that? Like, you try to lower his goodness as if you're like a fish in the ocean afraid that you're going to drink up all the water of the ocean. That's how you pray, you know? That's how you act with God. And I'm saying that with like prayer, but we also do this with his grace, where it's like, God, I need to call upon your grace again. And you're going, but you're running out. I just feel like you're running out. As if his grace hasn't been so abundant that it's covered the entire world's sinful nature, and you thought you were going to be the one who sucked it dry. He says, I want to just remind you, his riches are what it's coming from. His riches. Can I say this to those who are condemned by the world? You're not going to suck the ocean dry, little fish. There is so much more that he will pour out. For those who are worried that he cannot supply your need, I'm going to tell you right now, little fish, the ocean is much greater. So are his riches and his mercy. They're so much greater. And now listen, you could get cocky. I get cocky sometimes when I talk to God, not because... Do you guys ever have a rich friend before? And you're kind of shy to ask them, but when you get really close, you're like, please pay for this meal. You know what I'm saying? When you go out to eat, like, you pay, you're rich. I had a friend that was loaded. His dad was loaded. I'd go to his house. I had no problem going into his fridge and eating whatever, because I knew he could pay for that. And I want to say this, sometimes with my Christian walk, I get that way too. I'm okay if he tells me no. I want to make this clear. You got to be okay with God telling you no. You have to be okay with God saying no to you, or else you have a control problem. You want to be his God. But man, some of us are silly. I love what he says. I know this isn't all in context, but I think it applies. He says, you have not because you ask not. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to go ask for $1 million and tomorrow morning you have $1 million. I'm not saying that. But I do think it's funny that so many of us are trying to negotiate with God as if he doesn't have an abundance. And so you say, God, if just this one thing. It's like, no, God, please do it all. You're so loaded with grace. You're so full of mercy. Oh, your kindness is not even measurable. Man, you have a cattle on a thousand hills? Yeah. I love what he says about heaven. He's like, you know, I pave the streets with gold. It's garbage to me. You know, that's basically what he's saying. It's like, this is what we walk on. Not just so splendid, like, no, gold is nothing to us. It's literally what we walk upon just to get from point A to point B, where I'm from. And you come to him as if it's meekness, yet you don't realize that it's actually you trying to negotiate as if you can somehow convince him by lowering. You need actually to recognize, God, you're the rich one. I need you. I'm poor. Revelations 3, I'm wretched. I'm blind. Please come in. You're rich. Oh, you will clothe me. So, Father, I pray over us that, God, we would, one, be people who learn. Two, Father, we'd be people who recognize, okay, then I want that peace. May I get that peace and not have the peace of man anymore. I want the peace of God. Father, I pray we'd be people who walk around this place. Even when the chaos of the world falls apart, even if things in our personal life fall apart, Jesus, there's your peace that guards us. That people would say this. I love it when people say this. Well, that's just your personality. You're laid back. No. There's a peace from God that's guarding me from all this chaos. And I am not robbed. Father, forgive us for thinking that your peace is something that can be robbed from us. No, God, your peace guards us from the thief. So God, I pray right now, Father, that we start attaining that peace. That God, we would take the scripture and say, you know what? Actually, I believe it. I will lay it down. I'll put all my worries, I'll put all my supplications, I'll put them before your feet. God, I will praise you. I will worship you. Father, I'll set my mind to the things that are above. I will practice your teachings. I want the peace of you in my life. And God, I pray that we'd make that exchange with you. For Father, you are good. You always hold up your side of the deal. May we take a hold of that. And God, I pray tonight as we leave this place. And God, the Wednesday nights are over. Actually, time out. Next week, there's actually a service here. And I want you guys to come. I forgot to tell you that. It's not a midweek service. We're doing a team that's coming in. We're going to have worship and an encouraging word because we're going to be on the mission. We're going to be on the mission all week. If you guys want to come next week for church service, you guys want to come? Come on. It'll be fun. You meet some kids from Virginia. Father, I pray that, Father, tonight as we go out and we eat popsicles from the popsicle truck and SpongeBob and Bluey and Hello Kitty and whatever else we got out there, God, I pray, Father, that our fellowship would be sweet, that, God, you would have us encourage one another, that, God, we'd be like you. Father, we love you and we praise in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hey, listen, next week we do have a service in here. It's just for the missions team. I want you to come too. And if you can, I want you guys to go out with us. On Wednesday, we're doing ministry. We're doing Metro Kids and prayer walks, all sorts of stuff. Thursday, though, we're all day at Mercedes-Benz. If you guys want to go, it literally is all day. There's going to be a lot of traffic, so bring your own lunch. And if you can't come to that, Friday, we are going to be doing ministry like crazy right here in Old Fourth Ward. We'd love for you guys to be a part of it. Until then, spend 30 minutes, 8:30. 8:30 is not even late. It's summertime. Stay till 8:30, talking to people, hang out with people, grab some popsicles. If you don't like popsicles, there's fudgesicles too. I love you guys. God bless you. Peace. Talk to me, girl.